This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, where tomorrow is the day Grapefruit League games begin. Cardinals, Marlins tomorrow afternoon, 12:10 first pitch. John Rooney, Ricky Horton on the call of the game right here on KMOX. We've got a jam-packed hour. We're going to take a quick segment here, and then we've got a bunch of stuff to get to before we wrap things up. Our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler, that's going to be coming up in just a few moments or so, and then we will get the latest from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, the various things that he had to talk about today. Did want to mention this, you know, it's sports radio, right? I host a sports show. We talk about this, whether it's Sports Open Line or Gas House Gang. We are very good at approaching all the different landmines that might exist and kind of dissecting them. And it's a good reminder that stuff can work out, and it's good to have more available than you think you need, because you end up having it. I was having the conversation with Klabes the other day. Maybe it was yesterday on the Countdown to Opening Day show, where every year it's spring training and you feel like there's more than enough pitching. How are you going to get all these guys their innings? How many of these major league ready guys are going to end up at Memphis? So on and so forth. And then all of a sudden it's June or July and you're looking around and saying, there's no pitching around here. They got to go out and get some more pitching. So that's a very normal. That's part of the cycle of baseball. Unfortunately, and it's just a reminder of things that are likely to come. Not rooting for them to come, but likely to come. Drew Rahm, who is trying to come back from shoulder surgery, and had come into camp fully healthy, ready to go with baseball activities. He felt some soreness in his shoulder, and they're going to shut him down for a little bit, and they're going to try to figure out what's going on with him. First off, from like a human standpoint, it's a big bummer for him. He has worked, and hopefully it's nothing, and that he's going to be back soon and back on track and back on the path to being a big league pitcher once again. But how frustrating is it for a guy who misses an entire season, has shoulder surgery, comes back from it, works really hard, and then by the time they're going through their first bullpen sessions, well, it's not what they want it to be. So what that tells you is that injuries are going to continue to happen. Pitching injuries in spring training have been going up. Pitching injuries actually during the regular season, they have not gone up as much, but pitching injuries during spring training, that is an issue that Major League Baseball has, and I don't want it to be true, but unfortunately, Drew Rahm's not going to be the first. So when we're sitting here stressing out about, is Michael McGreevy going to have an opportunity? Is this guy going to have an opportunity? We haven't even seen the team start to play great for league games yet, and there's already one injury in, and there's likely to be more coming up. So just a reminder that if you're stressing out about stuff, it tends to work itself out. Or if you're stressing out about there's just not enough innings or not enough at-bats for guys, that that all figures itself out sooner than later. We will take a break, and when we come back, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us. It is our weekly Friday conversation. Always enjoy being able to get him on. And then after we talk with Wheels, we'll hear from Oliver Marmol, cuts from his daily media conference today. That's all coming up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Coming up in a few moments, we are going to hear from Oliver Marmol, everything that he had to say during his daily media session. The day before Grapefruit League action begins, Cardinals Marlins tomorrow, 12:10 first pitch. We'll have it for you right here on KMOX. But right now, it is our Friday tradition. Our guy, Kevin Wheeler, former host of this very program, now part of the Dave Glover Show. He is with us. Hello, Wheels.
It's good to be Ollie's warm-up guy.
There you go.
I'm his opening act.
Yeah, that works out well.
He's the rock star, and I'm the jokester that goes before.
Fair enough. You know what? Everybody has to...
got to have the bigger act always goes second.
Yeah, well, and I was about to say, every like headlining comedian at some point was in those other positions at some point.
Yeah, except I'm older than Ollie, so I think I'm in the wrong track.
Yeah, maybe. So I'm here in Jupiter. You're in St. Louis, but you're following along with everything that's going on. It's been an eventful week. It started with Nolan Arenado showing up on Sunday, and then there's been a lot of things that have happened. So I'll kind of throw it at you. What's the storyline? What's the narrative that has most caught your attention during the week?
Well, the thing that I'm paying most attention to is how much are we going to hear about quote unquote resetting things, right? How much are we going to hear? What do we pick up in the words that are being spoken specifically from the manager, but also Kate, you know, Winmo talks. And I know the players aren't going to be talking about these things because the things that we're talking about eventually changing long term are not just roster spots, right? I mean, that was part of it. And it's not just payroll. Those are, to me, the payroll conversation is temporary.
Right.
You know, the conversations I'm interested in are the more permanent ones. So you sent me a clip earlier today, just as an example. You sent me a clip on the phone today of the manager speaking and talking about Roderick Munoz, whose greatest strength is that he throws hard. He doesn't throw very many strikes, but he throws hard. And he was asked today, was it Derek Gould you said asked the question?
Yeah.
Asked Ollie if whether or not they'd want to maybe have him tick down on velocity to get better command. And Ollie was like, no, it's harder to hit guys throwing harder. And I'm like, yes, that's the answer I want to hear from the Cardinals. The velocity is good. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, I had this conversation with Bernie Miklas today on the Gas House Gang. One area that I'm struggling is he said, how often are we going to hear like reset? We're not. That's a word that they have now officially.
I just mean the concepts behind it. Like, are we going to hear a different point of view of how we're talking about lineup construction, roster usage? Are we playing matchups more or are we not? Like, it's more about the ideas than the word itself.
So this isn't apples to apples, but it's in the area. I was all in on the reset, on the youth movement, on the let the kids play and, you know, do things for the future. And if it meant they didn't have a very good season this year, so be it. That never really came to fruition, even more so now with Nolan Arenado back, but with the guys in the starting rotation. And I'm fine with that as well. Go try to win games while giving whatever opportunity you have to give to young kids, give it to them. But Ollie has talked a lot when going through decisions, how the decisions he makes this year, he's going to have to kind of straddle between how the decisions impact this year and how they impact future years. And that's where I'm struggling because there are going to be times where there's going to be a clear choice that this decision helps the Cardinals for this season and this decision helps the Cardinals for future seasons. And I don't get the sense that it's going to be 100% they're going to go in one direction or the other throughout the season. So I'm just, how do you do that? You can't really serve two gods. And then once again, Wheels, you're kind of stuck in that middle spot.
You got to be careful about that. Yeah, you're right that there's the potential for being caught. But what's different there is in the past, it was always about what's best for now. It was always that. That's why Jordan Walker kept getting sent down, when he would struggle, because it was right now, what do we need? We need to win games. We're trying to win the division and we're off to a bad start or whatever. So I'm glad that there's an extra factor, but I think you're right. There's a danger of getting stuck if you're, you know, so I guess it depends. To me, it's just going to depend on what the decision is, right? If it's as simple as who's our best matchup in a game that's close, well, we don't necessarily need to try Riley O'Brien and leverage just because it might benefit us next year. We're going to go with the guys that are showing us. Like, that's fine. That's a different thing. If it comes down to, like, the everyday lineup, as we've discussed, Jordan Walker's struggling and we're not having a good time scoring runs, so we're going to sit him or we're going to send him down, that's where you can run into the problem. So I think it's probably going to have to be judged by all of us, Matt, on a case by case, because there is definitely the danger you referred to. There's definitely the danger of getting caught in between.
And sometimes it's kind of a dynamic decision where it's just, it's not black or white. It's not this or that. It could be a multiple choice. You look at center field. Lars Nootbaar is probably the offense first choice. Michael Ciani is probably the defense first choice. And Victor Scott is probably the future first choice. So those are three different options that you're kind of juggling in that spot.
Although I would tack on to that Lars can also be a part of, Lars in center can also be a part of helping down the road too, even if he's not going to be there down the road. Because it opens up at bats for somebody that can be a factor in the future, right? It's going to open up at bats potentially, again, maybe not on opening day. And that's something that we all have to keep in mind. I know I do, because I've been fixating on this lack of change, this lack of opportunity. And I'm trying to remind myself, the opening day roster does not reflect how the roster will be used all year necessarily. Right. So let's say JC opens in AAA. Well, there could be a time where somebody goes down to an injury and he gets to play for an extended period of time. They could decide something's not working and go in a different direction that leans more toward those guys. So I know that I have to caution myself against it, because I don't love that you're essentially doing the same thing right now that you did last year. But what can change is how you adapt and how you adjust, and whether or not you get caught on a specific philosophy, or if you're simply going by what your team is going to benefit from. Like, so example, if the decision is, okay, well, we get better defense in center field with Ciani, and we think today we need better defense, or this, you know, in this stretch we need better defense, is that move for 2025 outweighing what you need to learn for 2026 and beyond, right? Because I think that's where the whole Nootbaar and center field conversation becomes a big deal to me. Yes, it's about scoring more runs now, which can be about the now, but it's also creating at-bats for people with bigger upside offensively.
Yeah.
And longer term, right? Longer term upside too.
We'll see how not that a Grapefruit League game lineup tells you any type of answer, but we'll start to see some trends as these spring training games are played. I have a feeling we're going to see Alec Burleson as the guy who's going to lose out on some playing time here.
Yeah.
That Gorman's going to be the DH a lot. That Donovan's going to be at second a lot. And that's going to allow them to have Newton left and Ciani in center.
I mean, if the battle is between at-bats and playing time between Ciani and Burleson, I have less of an issue with that. In part because while I think Alec Burleson is a really good hitter, I don't think Alec Burleson has a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean, like, I think he's going to be a major leaguer for a long time. I think he's going to have a long major league career. He's a really good hitter, but I don't think there's a lot more there. There's no more physical development, right? He's already a big, strong guy. He already is what he is there. And most players, this has been studied by people way smarter than me, most players do not improve strike zone judgment and swing decisions once they reach the major leagues. Usually, once you reach the major leagues, you kind of are what you are when it comes to swing decisions and strike zone judgment. Guys don't learn how to walk or swing at fewer pitches very often at a high level at the major league level. It's not 100%. There are, and you can improve, but you don't go from a 310 on base guy to a 350 on base guy once you reach the major leagues.
Do you think that's changing, though, just in the sense that guys are being pushed to the big leagues faster, so there's more room to grow when they get here?
It can, right. It can, yeah. But not for a guy that's almost 27.
Right. Like, that wasn't specific to Burleson, just right. Because I find that interesting.
Yeah, because, well, when you arrive at the major leagues when you're 22, you know, in a lot of years, I mean, look at how many guys in the Cardinals organization are 22 and they've not even been to the big leagues yet, right? I mean, Quinn Matthews is 22 years old, you know? I mean, so JC's 22 and he's only had a little taste of the big leagues. So, yeah, when you the younger you arrive, the more that can still happen, but the problem is at the major league level, it's so much, for especially for hitters, it's so much about survival that it's very difficult to change, right? It's very difficult to do that. And you can do some things in the offseason, like swing changes can be done in the offseason where you're going to stop hitting ground balls and hit the ball in the air and you can build habits in there. But man, taking an at bat is still about what your eyeballs tell you and making a decision in 0.3 seconds.
And I just... guys who try to do the in-season changes, it's borderline impossible. You can work on anything you want at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but when it's 9:30 at night, your team's down by a run, and you got runners on at second and third and two outs, you're not going to stick with this thing that you were working on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that's resulted in 3 strikeouts in the last 3 at-bats.
Well, hitting has to be reactive and instantaneous. It can't be thought. If it's thought, you're done. Yeah. The types of changes that work best in season matter typically trying to get back to where you were at a previous time, right? So let's say you had you were doing a certain thing really well and when you had a big season and trying to get back to that feel because you know that feel, right? It's not new. You're not learning it. You're just trying to remember it. You're trying to find it. And then once you find it, you've already done it and you know what it's like and you can identify it when you feel that way again. And that feeling is both physical and psychological, right? It's the combination of the two. If you look at a guy, he's like, man, I feel wrong. And we'll go back and look at the video and like, oh yeah, last year when you were good, you were doing this instead of this. All right, let's try to get back to that. That's an easier thing than adding a new thing.
Right. And that's when we heard about what was going on with Nolan Gorman. It feels like Brant Brown was largely kind of going back to what his base was and then building off of that.
Yeah, and look, I think the task with Nolan on a conceptual level is very simple. Doing it's hard, right? Like everything in sports is hard to do. Sometimes, though, it's not hard to understand. And he just has to swing at the right pitches. And mostly he's just got to lay off the stuff that he can't drive. And if that means you're falling behind sometimes, and now again, everything's circumstantial, right? And this is where I think Major League Baseball has lost a little bit in the last 10, 15 years, maybe even more than that, where there's less importance on making that adaptation when you're in the hole in certain spots, okay? In most spots, in most at-bats, you can keep the same ideas. But when there's a runner on third base and one out in a one-run game, your job is not to drive the ball as far as you can drive it. Your job is to drive that runner in, which means put the ball in play. And if you fall behind in that count, you should be less power conscious. You're not looking for a ball that you can hit in the air 420 feet. You're just looking for a ball, depending on the defense, right? Defenses, infields in, you are looking for a ball to hit in the air because the ball on the ground, it may not get the run in. But if the defense is back or midway, even a ground ball is fine. It's going to score that run. So, yes, there is something to be said about situational hitting and that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the general at bat, right? Your normal, regular at bats. A guy like Nolan Gorman just has to avoid swinging at off speed stuff down and away. And it's, again, super easy to understand, very difficult to do.
Before I get you out of here, let's talk about the situational stuff for just a second, though, because over the course of 2 days, there's a lot of conversation about that. And Oliver Marmol is kind of, he's pumped up about having Brant Brown around, and there was a lot of discussion about the way Brown communicates with players and helps them understand approaches in different situations, and that's more focused now than it has been in previous times. And coming off a year where the Cardinals were terrible with runners in scoring position, to everything that you've just said, it's hard to think through things in the at bat. But if you are very cognizant walking up to the plate of the situation and can at least take that into the at bat, that can go a long way towards this team scoring more runs.
Yeah, I mean that's not the same thing as thinking about mechanics, because that's just more, how big am I trying to go, right? Or what am I looking for? When you're looking to do damage, you're looking at a very specific pitch or a specific zone, right? You can't really do both because you're caught in between there. So if you're looking to do damage, you're saying, okay, I'm looking fastball, or I'm going to sit on the slider because I know he's going to throw it to me, or I'm just going to look away because I know he doesn't like to pitch me in. I'm going to look away. You can do that either way. But in the situation, it might be as simple as I just need a ball that I can put a bat on, right? I'm not looking for anything specific. I'm going to look at the whole strike zone and the first thing that, or I'm just going to look up. I need to pitch up. I need to hit the ball out of the infield in the air. So I want to pitch up. Those things are things you can definitely do as a game plan stepping into the box based on situations. And I don't think the Cardinals were bad at those things because they didn't know to do that last year. Every hitter knows to do that. I mean,
so why were they bad in those spots?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Because, I mean, this is stuff we preach to teenagers, man. We preach this stuff to 13, 14-year-olds. High school players are being taught that. College players, that's not something you're hearing for the first time in the big leagues. Like, that's something that hitters are taught from the time they're young, especially when they're, like, highly competitive players, right? Maybe not in 10U when you're just a little leaguer, but when you're playing, 13, 14, 15, 16U, travel ball, things like that, you're being taught that stuff as a hitter. But where the Cardinals had the biggest problem last year, and it relates to what we're talking about, is the inability to stay within what works for you, right? It's Jordan Walker not being able to lay off the breaking ball down and away. It's Nolan Gorman swinging at fastballs above the zone and off speed off the plate down. Like, you can't do both. You can't be going after both or you're done. It was Paul Goldschmidt's bat being slower. He wasn't getting to pitches that he used to get to. It was Nolan Arenado not getting to pitches that he used to. When you run down the lineup and look at a guy that was good with runners in scoring position last year, like Mason Winn. Well, why was he good? He was good because what he does is suits that. He's a ball in play kind of guy. He doesn't swing and miss very much. He doesn't swing and miss, and he doesn't strike out. So that guy's going to be good in situations because that's his game. Power guys can go up and down in that regard. And when you look at, part of it was, your best hitter last year was Wilson Contreras, and he missed half the year. So you're taking your best bat out of the lineup. That's going to hurt you in key spots because he's good at those things. Your best hitter is. And then you add in Goldie and his problems. And he was having problems hitting fastballs, especially fastballs in. So when you're looking at those things, that's, to me, what was the problem in situational ball last year. Not just not understanding how to do it or thinking about it, but just not being able to be at your best in any situation, let alone with runners in scoring position.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. Wheels, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again coming up on Monday.
Get some rest. Enjoy some baseball, buddy. I'm jealous.
All right, when we come back, Oliver Marmol, we'll hear the latest from him. That's next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter right here on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to come your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. It is that time of the program where we have a little fun with audio, going back and listening through what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today as he does a daily media session. So one player who bluntly is not in a great position to make the team is Thomas Tsegiasi. Before Nolan Arenado's return, it looked like Tsegiasi was likely to make the club, and there would certainly be enough at-bats for him just in bouncing around and playing a bunch of different positions on a day-to-day basis. But when Arenado returned, and that pushes Gorman to second, or if Gorman's the DH, Donovan is at second. Like, there's just, when you've got a young guy like Tsegiasi, and the Cardinals have always felt this way, and I agree with them on it, what you want to do is you want to make sure that there are enough at-bats and enough plate appearances and enough games for it to be worth it for those guys, that it doesn't stunt their progression as still developing players. And if you're just not going to find those plate appearances, it makes more sense for them to be playing just about every day at Memphis. And look, this stuff works itself out. There's going to be injuries. Even if he's not on the opening day roster, he'll certainly have a role on the team this year. It's just, if everybody's healthy, it doesn't seem overly likely that it would make much sense for him to be on the roster when opening day hits. But all that being said, this is what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say about what he wants to see and what Tsegiasi really needs to do in spring this year.
So just go out there and compete. He had a good fall league. He understands what makes him good. He worked on a couple things when it came to just swing decisions. This is a guy that puts a lot of balls in play regardless of where they are in the zone, and he starts to hone that in a little bit and swing at more pitches in the heart of the plate. I think we're going to see a better version of him. He's already a good player, but we'll see even a more improved version of that. So he's aware of what he needs to do going into these games. And just go out there and compete, be himself, which is, it comes easy to him.
As far as Tsegiasi and the way he carries himself, man, he's cool, he's calm, he's collective, he comes across as laid back, and I think he is kind of in life, but that doesn't mean he's that way with baseball. But Marmol says that he absolutely loves Sejasi's mentality.
He's definitely steady. He doesn't make too much of what's going on around him. Doesn't make the game much bigger than it is. So, yes, his personality will serve him well.
A lot of talk today was around pitching. Let's go through some of what was said. We'll start with Sonny Gray. You know, he's one of the elder statesmen in the clubhouse now, and he's always kind of led in his own way, and there's been a lot of talk about that this year with Quinn Matthews' locker being placed next to him. And when Ollie was asked about maybe Gray evolving as a leader, he kind of pushed back on the evolving thing, not saying that you don't evolve, everybody evolves, but just the idea that there needed to be evolution. No, that Gray is a good leader, and he's always been one.
We got him because he was a leader, right? Like, he does that well. He is intense, but brings people alongside of him. He's intentional with what he says and how he says it. He's solid when it comes to that. So evolve. I think we all continue to evolve as leaders, but this is a guy that had a pretty good foundation for that prior to us getting him over here.
Now, Gray seemingly is a little bit behind some of the other pitchers. He's only thrown two hitters once. We'll see when he actually gets into a Grapefruit League game. They're going with a slow ramp up for him, and even someone like Eric Fetty, who is going to start the Grapefruit League opener coming up tomorrow, they're being careful with him. So Gray, Fetty, those guys, they are being careful right now when it comes to ramping them up.
Not purposely, just when we planned out spring and where everybody was at, this was what made the most sense. Same with Fetty going tomorrow and going one inning rather than two. It's just, we're making sure we're tailoring each progression to where guys are and being smart about it. I mean, this is, it's a long season, and you want to make sure you do it properly. So no more thought than just that.
Last year was interesting for Eric Fetty when he came over at the trade deadline because he was having a fantastic season with the White Sox, and he was one of the most sought-after pitchers available at the trade deadline. His first handful of games with the Cardinals, he did not pitch particularly well, had about a 5 ERA, I think it was, after four games. But then in his final six appearances with the Cardinals, final six starts of the year, he looked more like the guy he was in Chicago, where he had a sub-3 ERA. I think a lot of Cardinals fans realize that, but I also think there's a disconnect for others because the overall numbers were a little bit skewed by what he did in those first handful of starts. There seems to be a negative disposition towards Eric Fetty from a lot of folks. He's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher, and he was a good pickup for the Cardinals. And Marmol said that they feel like even though he did have that sub-3 ERA in those final six starts of the year last year, that they feel like they can get even more from Fetty.
He'll also tell you he still didn't feel like himself with being able to deliver to the degree that he's capable of. And I think that comes with just being on a new club and trying to prove that you belong, that type of thing, right? But the more comfortable he gets, I think we'll see a good version of him, and we're already seeing that just in his personality and just his level of settling in.
Continuing that conversation, Marmol said that Fetty last year after the trade deadline really put a lot of pressure on himself.
Especially kind of coming over to a new team at the trade deadline, being highly sought after, and you want to prove there's a reason you're coming over. So all that plays into it. But I think as guys settle in, this fits him well. We'll see a better version of him.
So Eric Fetty's going to start the game tomorrow against the Marlins, 12-10 first pitch right here on KMOX. He's expected to throw one inning. Then Matthew Liberatore is going to come in. Libby is being stretched out as a starter here in spring camp, with the idea that he'll eventually be converted back to a reliever, but it's a lot easier to stretch a guy out as a starter and reel him back than all of a sudden try to force more innings out of somebody. And as Ollie said the other day, if it hits the fan, then maybe all of a sudden Liberatore is in the rotation. I don't think that is something that they're planning for this year, but it's also not out of the realm of possibility that later in his career, Liberatore could go back to being a full-time starter. And Ollie said that Liberatore absolutely has value as a starter or as a reliever.
It depends who you ask. Like, if you're asking an organization where is someone that has a high ceiling more valuable as a starting pitcher, right? Where did he settle in and where was he most effective? It was as a reliever. I love seeing him in that role where he can pitch high leverage in a relief role and give you multiples if needed. But he also gives you the versatility where he's continuing to evolve as a player and mature, and you give him an opportunity to get stretched out during spring. And then make a decision as you have more clarity as to what the roster is looking like closer to breaking camp. So it's much easier for someone like him to adjust to, hey, we need you to go blow people's doors for an inning. Than the other way around. So
when it comes to that bullpen, you would think Liberatore is going to be a big part of it. There's a lot of other guys that are contending for spots and a lot of guys with options. We maybe haven't seen the team be quite as active over the last couple years and always just shuffling guys and shuttling guys between the Cardinals and Memphis. But when you look at the makeup of the 40-man roster right now and the number of pitchers who could pitch out of the bullpen who the Cardinals would feel comfortable with, it certainly feels like there could be that shuttling back and forth if needed this year. And Marmol says that the 40-man roster and roster depth in general puts them in position to do that if they need to.
That's part of the roster construction. Yeah. It will give us the ability to do that if needed this year. If guys are doing well and we're using them properly and they're fresh, and we can roll with the guys we have. But we do have the versatility to bounce back and forth between AAA and use that 40-man to our advantage.
You know, one interesting name to take a look at is Rodder Munoz. Munoz, in his career, has never been able to fully put it together because of his inability to control the strike zone. What he can do is throw hard. He has tons and tons of velocity. He's mostly worked as a starter in his career. The Cardinals are going to use him in the bullpen, and Marmol talked a little bit about what they're doing to try to help find a little bit of consistency for Munoz, who could be an electric arm out of the bullpen.
The first thing that comes to mind in some of the conversations will be around creating a routine that'll allow for consistency. I think that's going to really help him, and we have the right staff to be able to do that and just continue to make that important to him. I'm sure it won't be the first time he hears that, but I think starting to create some consistency around how he shows up and just being purposeful behind everything he does will lead to a more consistent outcome on the field. Because stuff-wise, it's there.
And continuing that conversation, Marmol did say that the goal in putting him in the bullpen is to try to make him more effective.
That's the hope, right? And anytime you make that move from a guy having to go three times through to, hey, go get an inning, is that stuff's a little nastier for an inning. So that's our hope.
That's Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, what he had to say earlier today. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll wrap up this edition of the program from Jupiter, Florida, get you all the way ready for the Grapefruit League opener. That's coming up tomorrow afternoon from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
For one final time tonight, we are back at it with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training today was a short day on the field in terms of live BP sessions. Only one person had one. That was Michael McGreevy, as he had an up-down in there, so essentially through a couple innings, and he'll get into a Grapefruit League game here sooner than later. But that was it. You know, that compare that to what it had been like here over the previous couple days, where they were running five fields at once, and each field had multiple live BP sessions. Just the one today, guys were able to get out a little bit early, and now things pick up tomorrow. It is another mile marker point of Cardinals spring training, because Grapefruit League games will officially begin tomorrow, as we've already talked about. They'll match up against the Marlins. The Cardinals will. Eric Fetty is going to throw one inning. Matthew Liberatore is then going to throw the next couple innings after that. And we will be off and running with spring training games over the better part of the next month plus before we eventually get to opening day, which we are very much looking forward to. We have a crazy sports day tomorrow. Tomorrow is an amazing St. Louis sports day. So here on KMOX, we'll have Cardinals baseball for you. And that game is going to get started at about 12:10 as they match up against the Marlins. SLU Billikens basketball, which you normally hear on KMOX, but it's not going to be on KMOX tomorrow because of Cardinals baseball. Instead, the Billikens tomorrow are going to match up against Rhode Island. That game is scheduled to start at 1:30 inside of Chaffetz Arena. And that game is going to be over on our sister station, 97.1 FM. So, FM 97.1 FM Talk. So, that's Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they're going to be over there. The season is getting underway for City SC. They are going to match up against Colorado coming up tomorrow evening at Energizer Park. It's going to be chilly. And that is going to be heard on another one of our sister stations, Y98. So as far as KMOX and our sister stations, that's what's going to be going on. Elsewhere tomorrow in our just Sports-a-Palooza, can we call it that? Can we trademark that? Sports-a-Palooza 2025? That's what tomorrow is. Let me decree that February 21st, 2025 in St. Louis is Sports-a-Palooza. Anyways, the Blues, they come back off of their Four Nations break, and they're going to match up against Winnipeg. We really didn't get much chance to talk about the Blues, unfortunately. We've just been so busy. Real quickly, before we get out of here, other than the United States losing, which stunk, go USA. Other than the United States losing, last night was amazing. The Four Nations Championship game between the United States and Canada. It was so much fun. The energy, the excitement. You could tell how much that game meant to those players. The crowd was great. Everything about it was great. A lot of people are trying to say maybe this is going to turn into like more people following hockey. We say that whenever there's a year where there's just like an amazing playoff run and it never really happens. So let's just take it for what it is. And it was awesome. And Jordan Binnington just stood on his head. My goodness, was he great. He should have been the first star. He was awesome. And you feel good for him. And the NHL hit it out of the park with doing that. So good on them. Absolutely good on them for that. But the Blues play tomorrow. They're going to match up against the Winnipeg Jets. We already told you about SLU basketball. Let's go through the other area college basketball teams that are going to be playing a Sportsapalooza Saturday, February 22nd game. Missouri basketball, they're going to be on the road as they match up against Arkansas. Illinois basketball, they are going to be playing as they are going to host number 3 Duke. So that's a pretty big game for them. In the Missouri Valley Conference on Saturday, Missouri State and Springfield hosting Illinois State. And then also Southern Illinois basketball, they are going to match up against Valparaiso. Let's go to the OVC. Have a bit of a rivalry game as Lindenwood and Southeast Missouri State. Those two teams will match up against each other in Cape Girardeau and SIUE, which is just incredible right now. Incredible. They're 12-5 in conference play, and they have a legit chance of winning that conference tournament and being in the NCAA tournament this year, which would be amazing. SIUE plays at Southern Indiana. So Cardinals, Billikens, City SC, Blues, Mizzou, Illinois, Missouri State, Southern Illinois, SIUE, Lindenwood, Southeast Missouri State, all playing. It is Sportsapalooza 2025 coming up tomorrow. Make sure to partake as much as you can. Thank you for being tuned in to the program tonight. We've got the Gas House Gang on the way next. Today's show features myself and Bernie Miklas. That is our Friday pairing up. So that's coming up in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Have a wonderful Sportsapalooza tomorrow. And we'll talk to you again coming up on Monday right here on KMOX.